Welcome to the December 16th, 2018 edition of the BitcoinNews.com Daily Podcast, where we cover the biggest stories of Bitcoin, blockchain, and cryptocurrency every single day, and we usually do a very deep dive, in-depth market analysis. This is your host, Space Marine, live from somewhere in space. Jumping into that market analysis, and by the way, this is done at 7 a.m. Eastern United States time on the 17th, so this is a full retrospective of the 16th, and also today we will be talking about the one-year anniversary of Bitcoin hitting its record highs of $20,000. We're going to talk a lot about that. So, starting with the market analysis, Bitcoin has been steady for like a few days. On the 14th, the 15th, the 16th, and now into the morning on the 17th, we've been around oscillating about that $3,300 level, as low as $3,100, as high as maybe, I guess, $3,300. So we're more oscillating around the $3,200 level. Right now it's $3,250 on Bitstamp, $3,365 on Bitfinex, but Bitfinex is not the price I use anymore because they've had such high fees for fiat withdrawals and deposits since they moved to Deltic Bank in the Bahamas, that they're not really the benchmark for the global spot price. They're above the spot price. People choose to use Bitfinex because it's the biggest Bitcoin to USD exchange in the world, and they've actually lost some of their shares since their fees went up so high, but they're still dominant. All right, so here we have Bitcoin at $3,250. That leads to a market cap of around $57 billion, much lower than it was, but I'm not going to talk about that one-year anniversary until we're done with this market analysis. Ripple XRP. And Ripple is actually a platform where you can send any sort of asset and digitize any asset like USDs, euros, gold. You can digitize anything, send it across the Ripple network, but then XRP is their native token, which actually has no real use and isn't really used. Because, like, banks use XRP, or not, they don't use XRP, I mean, they use Ripple to send, like, money across borders, but XRP itself is not used by the banks. Like, they don't, like, even their newest platform or one of their older platforms, I forgot, they had, like, Xcurrent and Xrapid. One of them didn't even have XRP as an option, but XRP is the number two coin listed on CoinMarketCap, even though it's not a cryptocurrency, it has no blockchain, it's a centralized ledger. So it has trading volume of less than $300 million per day, less than 10% of Bitcoin's volume of like $4 billion per day. And it's kind of surprising it's listed as the number two crypto. There should be like, it should be painted in red with like asterisks all around it. It's not a cryptocurrency. It's a token on a centralized ledger platform, much like your Excel spreadsheet that you have at home. It's just a really nice Excel spreadsheet where you have a bunch of servers validating each other's spreadsheets. I wouldn't consider it a cryptocurrency. It could be printed. Well, it's not printed at will right now, but there's a because there's 100 billion XRP to distribute. 41 billion XRP are in circulation, while 59 billion will be dumped in the future onto the market by Ripple Labs. That's guaranteed. Unless Ripple Labs fails before then, because they're a single point of failure, and generally, if they actually became a serious like mover of money via XRP, like Bitcoin is right now. Like Bitcoin's a serious mover of money that the government wishes they could stop, but they can't because there's no centralized organization. But XRP has this centralized organization that's a massive single point of failure. And if they actually became a serious threat to the global monetary system, the government would somehow probably destroy Ripple Labs. That's speculation, but it's all true. All right, so Ethereum is at $86.56. The market cap's just below $9 billion. It's probably like a little bit lower than that. Generally, when I see these market cap figures on CoinMarketCap, I gotta remember that this is the highest possible market cap based on the current spot price. But if like there was any actual selling to redeem some of the market cap, the price would crash rapidly below that level. So the market cap's not a good indicator of the total value that could be obtained if someone tried to sell a significant amount of that cryptocurrency. It would actually move the market down because there's not much liquidity. Ethereum has pretty decent volume today, $1.5 billion, and it always has decent volume. And it's usually number three as far as volume goes. And Tether is number two. So Bitcoin's number one always, and then Tether's number two. Tether's the number one stable coin, and it's number five on CoinMarketCap with a market cap near $1.86 billion. It used to be $2.8 billion, but then they lost their banking relationships, and for a while the price crashed as low as 90 cents or even lower. And now they're at parity today, but they've gone above and below parity in a pretty volatile fashion even in the past week. So Tether's not really stable, even though it's the number one stable coin. But like I was saying, they have the number two volume. It's over $2 billion of volume because people are using it for arbitrage because it's a lot faster than sending actual fiat, and it's a good fiat analog. And people use it as fiat in locations where fiat does not exist for deposits and withdrawals. And then we move down the list. Stellar's at number 4. And Stellar's below 10 cents still. And today, I would define the market as up and down. It's truly a stable day with some cryptocurrencies rising and some falling. Usually they all kind of go in one direction, but we're in between something right now. It was going up, kind of, over the past day or two. Pretty stable. But today's a real mixed day, which is kind of rare, actually. Like, on the stock market, you see mixed days all the time. On the crypto markets, mixed days, where you see the top cryptocurrencies going up and down, is not that common, if you've been listening to the show. Alright, so, EOS is below $1.8 billion market. It's almost at $2. It's been as low as $1.5 billion recently during the nuclear bear market. So EOS was the biggest ICO in history. It was said to be better than Ethereum, but then it ended up being worse because it's centralized. Litecoin is going up today. It's up 5% today. Litecoin's a huge winner today. It's up to $27.50, $1.6 billion market cap. And Litecoin has really, they've amped up that lead against Bitcoin Cash. So Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin SV, the two forks of Bitcoin Cash, were ahead of Litecoin until just now. And I forecasted a few days ago that Litecoin market cap would exceed Bitcoin Cash, and it has, and now it's moving ahead with that lead. Bitcoin Cash is stable today at $82. It's really low. It used to be over 600 before that fork happened a month ago. So that fork was a bad idea, obviously. At least for the investors. Probably everyone else, too. It's been a horrible war. And it actually hurt the whole crypto space. The Bitcoin Cash fork caused the beginning of the nuclear bear market, undoubtedly. The same day that the market started crashing was the day that Bitcoin Cash forked into Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin SV. Bitcoin SV is at $77. It's only like $5 behind Bitcoin Cash. And Bitcoin SV could, like, then they probably call it the evil cousin of Bitcoin Cash, like the people in the Bitcoin Cash camp. It's not evil, though. It's just another crypto. It might lap it. Like, Bitcoin SV could end up being worth more than Bitcoin Cash at this current rate with the trend that's going on. The Monero, the number one privacy coin, is pretty stable. It's at $40. It was below $40 yesterday, so it went up a little. IOTA, the number one DAG coin, directed acyclic graph, which is good for storing data, good for scientists. It's down a little, but still number 13, and it's at $625 million market cap. Dash is at number 15, and Dash is the number one X11 coin. It's been seeing increasing adoption, especially in Venezuela, because Venezuela is having a hyperinflation crisis, and Bitcoin's probably being adopted there too, of course, but Dash is maybe almost preferred because it has more anonymity. So Monero is the ultimate privacy coin. Bitcoin's pseudo-anonymous, technically. You could make Bitcoin totally anonymous by using VPN and Tor and changing your Bitcoin address every time, but Monero has the anonymity built in, and so does Dash. Dash has masternodes, and it's the number one X11 cryptocurrency. And then moving down the list, we have Zcash down there. It's the number two privacy coin. It's like Monero, but it's not fully private. Like, people could choose to be transparent with Zcash, and that makes the whole entire network, like, less private than Monero. And Zcash is at number 19 at $290 million market cap, while Monero's at number 12 at $675 million. Perhaps shockingly, despite Zcash being way behind Monero as far as market cap goes, Zcash is way ahead of Monero when it comes to volume. Zcash has volume over $100 million, while Monero's near, like, $10 million. And Monero, like, people were saying it's going to be, like, the number two crypto long-term. Like, I saw one analysis that said that. However, Monero is best used on the deep web, the dark net. And because it's for privacy, and there's not that many people that really need it. So, like, $10 million volume per day is quite sufficient. And Zcash is actually being traded as, like, an investment for speculation purposes. It was added to Coinbase. So, Zcash, yeah, it's like investors can easily access it because of Coinbase. And so the volume's a lot higher, even though it has a lower market cap and probably less use, honestly. I'm not saying Zcash isn't as useful. It's just, like, that transparency makes the entire network less anonymous, honestly. Dogecoin's at number 20. Dogecoin's up a little today, $251 million market cap. So Dogecoin is, like, usually where I end the analysis. And, yeah, Dogecoin has been doing really good compared to the other cryptos during this nuclear bear market. By the way, I just saw a big change in the Bitcoin price. Right as I was talking, it actually moved. Huge green candles. So that's good news for people that are investing and holding. It went from around, like I said, $32.50, now it's at $33.50, and a $100 change wasn't that big of a deal a year ago, and we're about to go into that one-year anniversary of the price rise. So a year ago, $100 price change was nothing, but now it's actually a big deal. That's like 4% or so, now it's rising $33.60. So yeah, the market just went up a little bit. So, like, it was a mixed day, and remember I kind of said, like, you know, we're in between something. Because when it's going up and down, that's so rare. Now it's going up, like, solidly. So Bitcoin's market cap is up to $58 billion now. It went up $1 billion in, like, a second while I was talking. The total crypto market is $106 billion. And, you know, this could be the beginning of a rally for the day. Usually it doesn't just, like, happen for 1 second. It might just keep going up all day. And, you know, I'll do a show later today for the 17th and see what happened, if anything serious happens with the market going up. And that'd be good for everyone that's, like, suffering. It's already at 33.70 now. It's rising. Yeah, because, like, someone bought a lot of Bitcoin somewhere. I don't think it was on Bitstamp because that's where I'm seeing the rise. On Bitfinex, is almost at 3,500. So when someone buys a ton of Bitcoin somewhere and causes the market to go up, it kind of, like, ripples through the rest of the market like a wave. And then other people are like, wow, it's rising. Let's buy some before it rises too much. So, yeah, it kind of has, like, a positive feedback loop that goes on there. All right, so the one-year anniversary, 1 year ago today, December 17th, 2017. And like I said, this is the show for the 16th, but it is on the morning of the 17th. So 1 year ago today, Bitcoin hit its all-time highs in excess of $20,000. Compare that to today, it's less than $3,500 across the world. It was at $3,300, $3,200 a minute ago, and it still is around that level. So Bitcoin has dropped over $16,000 in 1 year. That is tremendously bad for all the people that were holding Bitcoin. And let me compare the sentiment between then and today. There was absolute Bitcoin euphoria and crypto euphoria 1 year ago today. Like, I actually had no internet, and I'm happy I didn't. Because, like, you know, I probably would have bought some Bitcoin and been like, it's going to the moon. It can't stop. You guys can't stop me. I'm buying all the Bitcoin. I actually had no money. I was sweeping the floor at a barbershop for $5 per day. And they were kind of trolling me because they knew I used to be like a Bitcoin dealer and a Bitcoin enthusiast. And they're like, yeah, look at your Bitcoin. It's going up. Do you have any? And they knew I didn't because I was begging them for like a slice of pizza. So they were telling me the updates. It was going up and up. And I actually had like this Obama phone. And I could see on Facebook, like the couple of Bitcoiners I friended because I was trying to get back in the industry. Like they were going crazy. It was like total euphoria for them. And I was like, this can't be real. Because like one day it was like 15,000, then it was 17,000, then 20,000 within like a couple days. Literally less than a few days. It was going up like $5,000. And I was like, wow, this doesn't seem right. And I guess I could say I was a little jealous, but also at the same time, I was like, this doesn't feel accurate. And then, boom. So December 17th was the apex of the Bitcoin market thus far. It was the apex of that rally for sure. And then it crashed some more. It steadied out near that $6,000 level, like in February. So December 17th, 2017, we saw the peaks. And then by February, like February 4th, I'm looking here, it dropped below $6,000. So like within 2 months, less than 2 months, it dropped from 20,000 to less than 6,000. And then this market was at the $6,000 level for a while. And people thought that was like an absolutely solid support level. I'm looking at the long-term chart now. It looked like it was an absolutely solid support level, and it probably was, but something changed. I guess Bitcoin Cash initiated like some problems, and then the SEC like threw in their artillery at the same time by starting to attack ICOs. And then back delayed their physical Bitcoin futures. So, like, a lot of people that were holding Bitcoin long-term, even after the crash started, like, gave up, and they sold. And now we're at this less than $3,500 level. All right, so 1 year ago today, Bitcoin was absolutely rallying. And what happened 1 year ago? Why was the rally peaking on December 17th? Well, I'll tell you. Bitcoin futures launched on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange 1 year ago today, the same day Bitcoin's price hit its peak. And in the lead up to the Bitcoin futures, like people that just weren't educated about it and were ignorant of what happened to the gold market, because the gold market's been absolutely ruined by gold futures from the same people. So the Bitcoin futures are on Globex and so are the gold futures. And those were the Globex futures are the ones that absolutely suppress market price. And, you know, they pretty much determine the price and it's up to them to determine what the price is. I know that sounds simple and kind of ridiculous, but it seems to be true. The gold market's been suppressed and so has Bitcoin market. But anyways, so Globex is like, we're launching Bitcoin futures on the 17th, and no one did their research or due diligence, and they were buying up a lot of Bitcoin because they're like, wow, Bitcoin futures. Bitcoin's going to be officially traded on the stock exchanges pretty much. It's going to be on all the stock platforms through the Bitcoin futures. This will massively increase adoption. You know, wow, this is amazing. So like Bitcoin was already rallying, and then people were buying up a ton of Bitcoin in expectation of the futures, making the price rise even more. They were like, okay, it's a 20,000. They're probably like, okay, it's a 15,000 now, it'll be 100,000 once these futures are going for a month. All the stock traders will buy Bitcoin. One big problem with it. So the Bitcoin futures in Chicago are cash settled. And they absolutely do not affect the spot price through demand. So people buying Bitcoin futures in Chicago on the CME and CBOE does not increase Bitcoin's price or demand at all. But they do affect Bitcoin's price, like I'm saying. So not only do they divert money away. They divert investments away from the actual Bitcoin spot market, and that could cause Bitcoin to go down long-term all by itself. But also there's massive short-selling pressure in the Bitcoin futures market to this day. So a bunch of short sellers. So instead of the Bitcoin futures being like an amazing thing, when they launched on December 17th, Bitcoin's price crashed to $19,000 like pretty much instantly. And I'm looking at the candle here. So the candle for the day the Bitcoin futures launched, like 1 week later, it dropped all the way to $11,000 the first week the futures launched. Yes, the very first week those futures launched, Bitcoin hit $11,000. That just kind of proves, and it was already known, because the gold market, like I said, had the same problem. And I've been watching the gold market for years, even before I was in Bitcoin. And they were always complaining, like, the futures are ruining the market. And gold seems pretty uninteresting. Like, I wouldn't want to invest in it that much. Maybe a little bit for when the USD collapses. But it's like, I never thought I'd be a gold investor because everyone was complaining. Like, you know, they were really articulate. They seemed like a strong community, but at the same time, they could do nothing. They were hopeless in the face of gold futures. And then no one in the Bitcoin community was, like, paying attention. Maybe some people were, to be fair. But, like, when the futures were launching for the Bitcoin market, no one was like, wow, this is a travesty. Let's, like, sue them now and stop this. They were like, no, this is amazing. You know, Bitcoin's going to go up so much. It's going to be on the major stock trading platforms because of the futures. And it didn't go up. It crashed. So there's tremendous short-selling pressure on the Bitcoin futures market on CME and CBOE, and it's crashing Bitcoin's price continuously to this day. And there's other reasons, like, that have happened because the Bitcoin price is going down. Like, when Bitcoin was rising to its peak levels, there was initial coin offering euphoria. Like, there was new blockchain and crypto companies launching, like, every day. A lot of them gained massive market caps instantly. Like, anyone with a, you know, that could write a white paper and launch an ERC-20 token on the Ethereum network could make, like, $1 million in, like, a day. Literally, that's all it took. You write a paper and make an ERC-20 token. And you don't even have to try that hard back then. Back in December 2017, and it continued until January, but it started to, like, fall out even in December. But January was the peak for the whole entire crypto market, and it's crashed even harder than Bitcoin overall, the whole crypto market. But there was a lag. But, yeah, so when Bitcoin was rising, like, let's say on December 16th or even, like, December 10th, that would have been the perfect day to launch your ERC-20 token with a white paper, because there were so many people with so much money suddenly. Like, they would just take a little bit of their Bitcoin that they didn't buy for that much and invested it in your project because they think your project would make money. Literally, someone could raise $1 million, $10 million, maybe even $100 million, like, really quick for nothing. They didn't have to do any work. A lot of these ICO projects just totally crashed. So, but there was ICO euphoria because people were investing in Bitcoin and making a ton of money. There was euphoria over that. And then people were investing in these ICOs and making a ton of money. Because, like, when the person that made the ICO, even if they're totally a scammer or incompetent, they would make like $1 million. The market on a whole would make $10 million. So whoever invested in these ICO tokens would make a ton of money and then cash out. And the market was going up so quick it didn't matter. So them cashing out didn't crash the market. It just kept going up until December and January. And then it stopped. And then people cashing out crashed the entire market. And then there was like, people realized they're all scams. So none of the ICOs seemed like scams until like December 2017 at the earliest. Until then, the market was rising so fast that all the scams were insulated from being like obvious. No one realized that most of these companies either were spending all the money on parties, had no intention of doing anything, and were just kind of riding the wave, or were scammers outright. And that was the hard reality that was revealed. So I'm coming back to what I was talking about. Because Bitcoin crashed so hard, it suddenly revealed that the ICOs were all a bunch of scams, pretty much, besides a few of them. And even the ones that, even the best ICOs that have survived 2018, like, they're not doing good. Their investors have lost a ton of money. So even the best ICO project that was serious, had a bunch of scientists and coders and a bunch of serious business partners, they've all lost money. So even the most serious ICO has caused investors great loss, and the non-serious ICOs have been labeled as scams. Even if they maybe weren't intended as scams, maybe people were counting on Bitcoin going up for so long that they could have a party and not, like, you know, go as fast as they needed to go to build a company, and then they'd still be okay. But that wasn't the case. Most of the ICOs completely collapsed. ICOs were practically made illegal in the United States because of all the losses going on. And like I was trying to say, so Bitcoin going down because of the Bitcoin futures, like, I'm not saying Bitcoin futures caused all the price crash. It was the Bitcoin futures combined with all the effects of Bitcoin going down from the Bitcoin futures. So the fact that the market went from positive to negative in a big way. So it didn't just like start going down a little. It didn't just peak out and steadily go down. It crashed like thousands of dollars instantly. First week, it almost crashed by like 50%. And then by February, it crashed to like, yeah, like $6,000, a little less. And the ICO peak was actually in the middle of January, like the peak of the crypto market cap, I should say. The ICO peak was in the middle of January, but the peak of the crypto market cap was in the middle of January. 2 weeks later, Bitcoin was below $6,000 already. So Bitcoin crashing so hard, like, inflamed the situation and caused a bunch of other feedback loops that made the market crash out completely. In the time between, so there was total Bitcoin euphoria on December 17th, and I actually posted. I did make one post on the internet via my Obama phone. When I had no electricity in my house, I would have to charge my phone, like, outside. Like, I found, like, an outside plug, and I would have to, it was, like, probably a good few hundred feet away from my house. And I would have to do it in the middle of the night when no one could see me, because you're not allowed to use the outside electricity, because I had no electricity. So I would, like, charge my phone up, and I remember making one post. I was like, yeah, this doesn't make any sense. You know, good luck with that. It was something like that. I don't remember my exact words, but I was like, this is crazy. You know, like, that can't be real. So, yeah, lo and behold, like, I remember this person posting how it's $20,000, they're making so much money, and then they probably got absolutely wrecked, like, a day later. And the whole Bitcoin market got wrecked. So we had these people buying yellow Lamborghinis, because they made so much money in one day, they earned a Lamborghini in one day if they had, like, a Bitcoin. Well, not a Bitcoin. If they had, like, 10 Bitcoins or whatever, or 100 Bitcoins, like, people that actually built up Bitcoins over the years before the 2017 rally began. And then people that just had, like, a Bitcoin or two made a ton of money, too. So, like, it was, $1,000 in the beginning of 2017, and then people would have $20,000. So they'd be buying cars. People that had more Bitcoins would be buying a yellow Lambo with their daily profit. And then they got wrecked all at once. I bet, you know, they probably had a ton of money, and they probably leveraged their money with even more credit. Because they're like, oh, look at all my assets. I have all this money. And the bank would be like, okay, we'll give you some credit. And then they probably burned up all their credit. You know, they had to sell that Lambo. The whole market got wrecked. And so the euphoria turned to total pain. It was almost like a drug. It's kind of like the market injected some heroin and then they went through withdrawals. So they were at the peak of their high on December 17th, and now they're in rehab right now. I guess that's the best metaphor. So, yeah, remember December 17th, 2017, the day where the whole market was stupid enough to think Globex futures were good, and then they realized that Globex futures and Bitcoin futures, the ones that were launched, were totally poison for the market. And the poison infiltrated the entire market and destroyed all the ICOs. And the crypto space is wrecked right now. It's going up today, though. Maybe someone, like, put in their order for the wrong day. Maybe it was someone from December 17th, 2017. You know, and they put the order for 2018 by accident. Because it just jumped all at once, like, randomly just now. And now it's going down a little again. It went up to 3380, I'm looking now. And let me see the total crypto market cap before I end the show. Because I think it was, like, $104 billion. Now it's $108 billion. So, there it is. The crypto market changes by billions of dollars in a minute. Even 1 year after the huge collapse, the market is still a place where people can make money. And it's still interesting. And I just want to say something important. I like Bitcoin as electronic money. Electronic peer-to-peer decentralized money. I don't care about the price. Bitcoin could be like $10. I know that would be bad for everyone. And a lot of companies would collapse. But I would still like Bitcoin. I would still write about Bitcoin. I would still talk about Bitcoin. I would still use Bitcoin. In fact, I would use Bitcoin more than ever if it was like a dollar instead of like 3,000 like it is now. I would get a ton of it. Because Bitcoin is decentralized peer-to-peer electronic money. That's what it's supposed to be. It's the money of the future, and it always will be. These market swings don't have any effect on Bitcoin's fundamental use and perfection. So, like, don't watch the chart too closely. And you don't have to watch the chart too closely to get upset at what happened. It went from 20,000 to, like, you know, it's at 3,500 or less right now. So everyone that could even look at the chart from a distance, even if they, like, have vision problems and no glasses, they could see that Bitcoin got wrecked. But it doesn't matter. Don't even look at the chart. What matters is Bitcoin will be the perfect form of money when fiat currencies finally collapse due to hyperinflation and the debt bomb that's about to go off. Not about to, but within the next several years, maybe the next decade, the United States debt and global debt is going to be so high they're going to have to print a ton of money just to pay the interest payments. Like, the economy right now has been built on debt and borrowing. and they can't even pay it off. So it's kind of like anyone else. Like, you know, just look at a normal person who's like put themselves into debt with credit cards. Like, they'll have like $30,000 of credit card debt. That's normal, actually. Anyone that had good credit and built their credit up and then decided to like bomb their credit out, they have $30,000 of credit card debt or more. It's just like a normal person like that, you know, like everything's going fine, their own personal economy is running really good, they're full of money, they're constantly spending money, and then boom, they have no money and they're wrecked. So that's kind of like the United States, and Bitcoin will be there. Bitcoin's electronic peer-to-peer decentralized money will be there when the global economy runs out of its spending spree of credit. Alright, so that's all we have for you today on the December 16th, 2018 edition of the BitcoinNews.com Daily Podcast. Come back tomorrow for another exciting episode. And go to BitcoinNews.com 24/7 for the full spectrum of Bitcoin, blockchain, and cryptocurrency analysis. This is your host, Space Marine, signing out. Not remembering anymore what happened a year ago, because Bitcoin will always be perfect.